You listen to WKXL in the morning at 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. I'm your host, AJ Kierstead. Let's get the latest from New Hampshire government news or the friends of the New Hampshire Bulletin. Get their articles at newhampshirebulletin.com. They join WKXL in the morning every Friday. Joined this week by senior reporter Anne-Marie Timmons. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
All right, so there's it seems like there's always new COVID news, and this week with you there is no change on that. And there's actually been, so we're actually recording on Wednesday, November 24th because of Thanksgiving. I'm not working Thursday except for the morning news. So what's going on with this executive order to try and address the hospital bed shortage?
Yes, the governor issued an executive order yesterday, made sure to clarify not a state of emergency. It's a very targeted executive order that will, it's really in response. We're at record numbers for new cases. We're averaging about 1,000 a day now, 350 people hospitalized as of yesterday with COVID. We've not seen those numbers ever and during the pandemic. So this executive order is intended to sort of address that in a few ways. The primary way is hospitals will now have permission, flexibility to these surge centers within their hospital. So rather than have the state create one, you know, a community college, which we had seen very early on, this will be within their hospital walls. And the idea is that within sort of a non-traditional space, you know, the governor said maybe even a conference room, you could put several people, and then it's a much more efficient way to treat people at once. So they're going to be allowed to do that. And then secondly, the order puts sort of every resource, the office that licenses healthcare workers, the Office of Professional Licensure and Certification, they're going to be given every resource they need to process licenses more quickly. So right now they are just swamped. They're getting 500 calls a day from people who file checking on the status of their application for licensure. And over in the start of the pandemic, they saw 22,000 emergency license requests. And initially they're processing those by hand, and those really needed to be moved before people could, you know, treat someone. So it's, you can see the pressure there that they are under to get people, you know, in healthcare jobs as soon as possible. And that's
it's kind of the interesting upside to what's gone on with this pandemic is we see it extensively in education, where the schools are beginning to really see the advantages of these online services that are available, whether it's UNH getting funding for the iLearn project so that there's now Canvas access to basically any school in the state that wants it. The healthcare field desperately needed ways to improve efficiency, A, from a cost perspective, which has been the long-term reform issue that's been going on when it comes to even the health insurance industry is like, you guys got to bring down your costs somewhere, and getting more people into this field, because there was a labor shortage before this even started.
Exactly. Exactly. This reminds me of a bit of what we saw early on with unemployment security. You know, there was a real effort to get money out the door as soon as possible. And so it brought in a lot of state employees, shifted them over there, brought in the National Guard to process requests as quickly as possible. And I think there's a lot of focus right now on the threat of healthcare workers leaving their jobs over vaccine mandates. And I think one encouraging piece of this is that people are still seeking licensure. People still are seeking to join the healthcare field in New Hampshire. And I think that part of the story sometimes gets lost because there's such a focus on sort of the doomsday predictions that will come.
Yeah, it's kind of what you hope to see with people that are in the healthcare industry, because they're doing it because it's a passion. They want to do it because it's something they find worthwhile. Because you don't want people there just cashing in a paycheck, because then it breeds a real problem with patient care not really being the priority instead of just making that money, and it makes the whole industry look bad.
Yes, and Health and Human Services Commissioner Lori Chabanet talked about this a bit yesterday. There is still that passion on healthcare providers because, right, it's a tough job even with salary boost and bonuses, but it's getting harder, if you can imagine, being someone in healthcare. and you believe the vaccine can save lives, and you're seeing people still not take it, and you're at the other end of that, treating people in hospitals who, you know, opted not to be vaccinated for whatever reason. And you've got to, I think you can, wherever you're at on vaccines, I guess, I think you can appreciate how hard that job must be right now. I think one challenge with this executive order is that where do the people come from to staff these surge wards? Yeah. I mean, in some ways it'll allow their current staff to do more efficiently, but they still need workers. And I asked Commissioner Chibonette about that, and she said, yes, that is the question still. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some discussion at the federal level for the National Guard stepping in again, like we saw early on, because guess what? Winter is coming quick, and it's getting cold outside, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the temperatures started getting into the 20s at night, and oh, look, all of a sudden the COVID cases are ramping up like 30% within the last couple weeks.
Yes, it's really... I think people think we saw the worst of it early on because deaths were so high. Deaths are down. And that's an argument that I think you'll hear from public health officials, that the vaccine does work in the sense that it's not meant to stop all infections. It's meant to make you less sick if you get infected. So I think we're seeing that. And there was mention yesterday of the National Guard coming in. The state is not at that point. But interestingly, they are not looking to medical providers within the Guard at this time because they don't want to pull those people from their healthcare jobs. So instead, they're looking to see if they can find people within the Guard who could do laundry services or dietary services, patient observation, those support positions that, you know, have to be filled as well to keep a surge center or any part of the hospital running.
Yeah, we're not just short on nurses. I mean, we're short on everyone that's in that field, and that's often forgotten, that like the janitorial services. Can you imagine what those poor people have had to deal with COVID with the increased cleaning services? I mean, you go to any business, any large business, you see now basically there's someone around all day cleaning up as you go. And if you're at a hospital where you know there's people that are sick with COVID coming through those doors, that's an extraordinary amount of work.
It is. And there's a fear there still, I think. You know, you're right. You have all the hospital trash that needs to be dealt with, and then all this PPE, the cleaning. So you can appreciate how hard that is. And we've, you know, even though it's 20 months in, we're still dealing with new things all the time. So it's not as though there's great systems in place for all of this, because we didn't have to have those until now.
And isn't there something new about testing I saw announced this morning?
Yes, we have a new testing program. Soon, you'll be able to go to the state's COVID-19 dashboard main site and order at-home rapid test. It'll be delivered to you through Amazon, and it'll be no charge to you. So those should be up soon. I think there's going to be, gosh, a million available. Unfortunately, though, that link is not up yet. So, I think with storytelling, we've seen a challenge here. The state has had an ongoing challenge with this. It would have been nice today in my story to say, this is coming and here's the link to click to do that. But it is coming. The governor said New Hampshire is the first state to do this statewide, rather than just locally. So that'll be on soon, the next coming days is what we are told. In addition, there's tests coming into the state, rapid tests that will be offered to schools, upon request. So those are coming. And the other announcement yesterday was the booster blitz, which is going to be on December 11th. The state will hold 20 community clinics around the state, and you'll be able to go get your booster. The state is asking people to register for that, but well, it's not up yet. So
I'll just throw it out there. Please be sure to listen in on our New Hampshire news updates at the top of the hour and during WKXL in the morning from 6 to 8. I will definitely announce that as soon as those are available, because it's a huge missing piece. It's kind of ass backwards to start promoting all these amazing things we're doing that you can't sign up for yet.
Right. You know, when you think about writing a story, you anticipate reader questions, and this is one. Like, I have your attention. Here's how to sign up. So we'll be putting that out as soon as the link is up on our page, NewHampshireBulletin.com, and on our Twitter feeds. So stay tuned.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what those numbers come up with for this booster blitz, because at this point you can essentially go get the vaccine anywhere. If you're in a nursing home, hopefully at this point we've reached you and we've gone to your facility and you can get it if you want it. And most anyone, including children, can go to your doctor's office or most pharmacies. And it's really unfortunate that we don't really have strong stats on what's going on with who's doing what, where, and how many on a consistent basis. Like, I spoke with Allie Pham from New Hampshire Public Radio a couple weeks ago on her reporting on that, and it's really sad because we're trying to put this emphasis on, look at how effective the vaccine is, but you don't have the correlation to show for it.
It's true, and if anyone hasn't read Allie's work on this, she's really taken the lead and done a great job. And we did ask about this yesterday, and the vaccine registry, of course, has been delayed because there was a delay in funding for almost 2 months. And that was going to allow the state to track where doses are, how many have been given, are they still, usable? Have they been stored correctly? How's the supply? So what we know is, for example, in the state, as of yesterday, about 4,000, at least 4,000 children 5 to 11 have now gotten the vaccine. They've been eligible now since November. But we don't know is how many more went to pharmacies, because some pharmacies are not required to report that to the state, and they're not. So there's a big gap there. It is hard to know where we're at. The same is true for vaccinations for adults, because our vaccination rate, is creeping up. It looks like it's finally inching up, but boosters are included in that. And it's some boosters, and we don't know how many boosters. So, there is wise to get your booster, but it solves a different problem than getting a vaccine in the first place. So the data is still squishy, I would say.
There's many questions when it comes to what's going to happen here beginning of January. I mean, right now the federal mandate's on hold in the federal circuit court because there's all sorts of lawsuits. Like the Daily Wire, which is a conservative media outlet, one of the key players on what's going on with that. And if this does happen to go through, these million tests are going to be gone like immediately. A million tests is not going to be enough because there's 10 million people in the state.
Right. And I think we're already doing, thousands a day, a week, as it is. And I do think the mandate that when that kicks in, we're just going to see more and more fear, confusion. I have a story going Monday about religious exemptions and how they've skyrocketed in places where there's a mandate. And what employers initially, they're trying to sort out, like, are these your sincerely held religious beliefs? I've not heard of this belief system before. So now, rather than try to parse that out, because you can imagine that's impossible because there's not a firm test, they're saying, okay, we'll grant this. Now let's talk about the accommodation, because I don't have to just let you work and not be vaccinated. Can you work at home? Can you be masked? So the focus is more increasingly with religious exemptions. What are we going to do if we can keep you on? So that'll be interesting. I know some folks who've applied for religious exemptions, gotten them, then don't want to wear the mask, feel like that's an infringement on their rights. So you can just start to see how this is going to snowball, I think. And there are challenges to this in place now, especially in Boston. So those challenges, even on that front, will continue to come.
And there'll be even more lawsuits. I mean, what exactly a religious exemption means from a legal perspective is not the same thing you may generally think, that, I go to church on Sunday and they said it is immoral for you to get the vaccine. That's not necessarily what it means from a legal perspective. So the more and more these mandates come through, the more and more lawsuits and changes to case law are going to end up coming down the pike.
I think that's right. And so take, for example, the Pope has been vaccinated. Some people in the Vatican are required to be vaccinated. but it's still permissible and legally allowed for a Catholic, for example, to say, I know the Pope thinks it's okay. I don't think it's okay because there was fetal tissue created from aborted cells decades ago used to test the efficacy of the vaccine. That is too close for me and I feel like I can't take it. So you can't even any longer say, well, the Pope said it's okay. In fact, no mainstream religion has come out against taking the vaccine, even Christian Scientists.
Which is crazy. They're the ones that you would be like the poster children for not taking it.
Yes, they've really been, rather than say, get the vaccine, they have said this is a personal choice. And like others, I think there's an encouragement to think we live out our lives as Christians by thinking beyond ourselves and protecting the community. So they're sort of, we're not going to tell you to do this, but please think of others and what this means for protecting everybody.
So we just got a few minutes left here. I mean, what do you have any expectations here over the next couple of weeks on what might be coming when it comes to COVID from the state?
I think we'll see the numbers go up. We'll see more and more hospitals start to limit elective surgeries. We saw that this week with Cheshire Medical Center. Concord Hospital has started doing that. And I think when people hear elective surgeries,
yeah,
they're thinking,
a very
I'm
different
have my,
thing.
A nose job or something, but they're very serious and they're critically important to health. They can be kidney stone removals, hip replacements. So it's not nothing to put those on hold. So I think we may see more of that. I suspect we will see the National Guard brought in those support roles that I mentioned. So I just think as we get closer, we're going to all be gathered for Thanksgiving. UNH had a poll that says, more than twice as many people intend this year to gather and travel. So it's just no doubt that those numbers are going to go up.
Yeah, and there's some long-term implications to the hospitals holding off from procedures and appointments again. I mean, we're not going to know for a few years ultimately what these real numbers are going to be coming out of COVID with regards to these, because it's really getting down into the weeds. But you look at the addiction numbers, or they're off the charts for the deaths compared to previous years. And there's many like cancer patients that are terrified of going to the hospital. And in theory, they'd be able to get their treatment, but the minimal services available at the facility. And their concern over going to the hospital while all these people with COVID are trying to get tested and make sure they're not going to die from COVID is really going to slow them down.
In mental health care, we saw this week there were 37 children waiting for an inpatient bed for mental health care. Those are children in crisis, 22 adults. So that there's a lot of delayed care consequences that I think you're right. We'll see those play out for some time.
Anne-Marie Timmons, New Hampshire Bulletin. Thanks for joining me.
That was always great. Thank you.
NewHampshireBulletin.com to get more of her reporting, as well as Ethan and Amanda, which also join me every week here on WKX on the morning Fridays in the 6 a.m. hour. I'm your host, AJ Kearsted. Be sure to tune in to WKX on the morning Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. We're going to be doing a bit of a reformat starting next week, where the 6 a.m. hour is a little more features and more of me, a little more focus. We'll have some more of these interviews, and we're looking to get some more media outlets involved. And then 7 to 8 a.m. is going to be kind of the best of new WKXL, so you'll be able to hear Beyond Paul, Politics, Cal and Company, all that, a little more focused. So on your drive, you know what to expect here on WKXL. I'm your host, AJ Kearse. So we'll be right back after this.